Hey, good morning, everyone. I am so glad you are worshiping with us today. If you're new, I'm so glad you are here with us as well. We're doing something different and unique today. The message is obviously being brought to you by video. I had to be out of town this weekend, and I could have scheduled a guest speaker or one of our elders even to preach, but I really wanted to build and continue on the momentum we have right now in our current series, This Is Us. We're doing something new today, but I believe God is... I believe God has something to say to us, and today's message is absolutely critical to our church and how we understand what it means to follow Jesus and be the church. So let's pray together. God, today I just ask in Jesus' name that you would allow each of us, Lord, to be filled with your Spirit, to be connected to your Word, to receive what your Word has to say for us, and that you would allow us to really become what you want us to become, to be the church that you want us to be. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would fall afresh on us right now in this moment. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Out of curiosity today, do we have any country music fans in the house? Any country music fans? I know there's some of you who are here. I actually grew up on country, but now I am in recovery. It was too much. Just honestly, it was all I listened to growing up. But for those of you who are diehard country music fans, you're familiar with the song Boondocks by Little Big Town. It says this in the chorus. And no, I'm not going to sing it. It says, "You get a line, I get a pole. We'll go fishing in the crawfish hole. Five-card poker on Saturday night, church on Sunday morning." You know, for many of us, if we're not careful, the church can just become a part of the ritual. You show up on Sunday, get a little spiritual pick-me-up, and then get on with the rest of your week. Even for many in our society, church has just become something you go to every now and then, maybe because you have to or because you feel like you need to. Maybe your grandma made you go to church, or maybe you want your kids to grow up with a sense of morality so they don't sell drugs or get incarcerated or whatever. That's kind of been the basic philosophy of church in our culture for quite some time, which is unfortunately ridiculous. So my goal today is to show you that the church is something much greater than that, and that what Jesus died for was more than that. He died for something much greater. So we're in a preaching series right now titled This Is Us. I'm walking us through the top five core values of the Bridge and unpacking who we are, what it means that makes us uniquely the Bridge Church. The last few weeks we've covered that we are bold, that we are Word and Spirit, we are for the city. Today is value number five, which is this: we are family. We are family. And so here's what I'm going to do. We're going to look at a section of scripture in Romans chapter 12. So I hope you brought your Bible or open up your app, or it'll be on the screen for you. Romans 12, I'm going to unpack a vision for the church for you that I think will be transformative. And then as well, I'm going to make several applications for what this means for us personally in the way that we think about the church and the way that we live our lives. And when I'm finished, our worship host will come back and lead us in an opportunity to reflect, to respond through song, communion, and prayer. So Romans 12, if you would, join me in Romans 12. I'll kind of set up the context for you on this. The book of Romans, which is kind of midway through the New Testament, it's written by one of the leaders of the early church, a man named Paul. Romans, you could say, is the Mount Everest of gospel truth in the Bible. I mean, it is just so critical. It's so significant in the life of the church. Paul unpacks so many things to, you could say, one of the most strategic cities in the history of the world, which was Rome, where these early Christians were. And Paul's literary style, what he does is the first part of his book, he helps us understand right belief. What is the gospel and how do we understand it correctly? And then in the second part of the book, he helps us understand right behavior. Okay, if we understand the gospel, then what does it mean to live out of the gospel? And we're in chapter 12, and he's in the thick of helping us understand right behavior. How should we live as believers and those who are a part of this thing called the church? And because the gospel is true, this is what it means for us as a faith family. So Romans 12, I'm going to begin in verse 3 and read a few verses, and then we'll continue. Paul says this: "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Tell your neighbor, say, he's talking to you. He's talking to you. Not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment or sound judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. And this is the guts of kind of where we're going today. He uses this analogy about our physical body and the spiritual body of Christ. He says this in verse 4, "For as in one body, physically speaking, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another." Individually members of one another. A couple weeks ago, I had a kind of a tragic accident at my home. I unfortunately fell down the stairs of our home. Our home is a little bit older, if you've ever been there, if you know about it. We live just a few blocks away in the historic neighborhood of Carolina Place. It's not far from here, actually. The home is old. It has the original oak hardwood floors, which are wonderful and incredibly slippery. Anyways, I was wearing socks and I was at the top of the stairs and I slipped on the top step on my way coming down. My body literally got airborne. No lie. My body gets airborne. I fell directly onto my left forearm. And fortunately, I was able to grab the banister with my right hand so that it didn't go all the way down. But it was so significant. I literally thought I broke my arm. I still right now have like a massive bruise on like half of my forearm. I thought I broke my arm. And here's the reality is that my entire body has been feeling it ever since, because my body, my physical body, obviously it's interconnected. So here's the first thing we have to understand is this. When we think about the church and what is the church, it's this. The church isn't a building. It's a body. It's a body. The church is not about a facility. And there's a bunch of different kinds of facilities. And it's whether it's a storefront or a grocery store or old school traditional steeple, whatever. At the end of the day, the church isn't a building. It is a body. And what is the church? I mean, what exactly is the church? Well, as Christians, we all participate in this thing, the big C church, which is kind of global, but then we also participate in the small C church, a local church. It's kind of like the NBA. The NBA is a national organization, but it's constituted by local teams across the country. So to be in the National Basketball Association means that you belong to something big, but it also means that you belong to a local franchise. It's similar with the church. Yes, the church is global, but it's also local. And here's what we know about the churches in the New Testament. It wasn't some kind of free-for-all. It wasn't vague. It wasn't some kind of free-flowing entity that had no organization. No, the church, it actually was an organization. It was an organization. It was an institution. Yes, it was a movement, but the greater Big C church was comprised of local expressions of Christians who were connected to a faith family. And each faith community was organized under local leadership, under a governing body of leaders. This means there was an authority structure for the church. There were officers who were appointed to lead and serve. And the composition of these early churches were kind of like flocks where Christians should be identifiable and accountable. And every believer was expected to be under authority, the authority of the leaders and the shepherds, and each member was accountable to the whole. There was just no such thing as my boat is church and any of that sort of nonsense. Believers who, here's what Tim Keller says about this that I think is super helpful about believers in kind of a society like ours. He says this, "Believers who live in individualistic cultures, such as the United States, are blind to the importance of being in deep community and placing themselves under spiritual accountability and discipline. This is why many church hoppers attend a variety of churches and don't join or fully enter any of them. American Christians see church membership as optional. They take a non-biblical feature of an American culture and bring it into their Christian life." You know, when we think about the church, we've got to make sure that we're thinking about this thing from a biblical perspective, not a worldly perspective. Now, one of our families at the church who's been here for a long time, the Carroll family, Jacob and Paige with their little rugrats that run around. Jacob and Paige have been here since the beginning. They were part of our original launch team. They have been here since day one. And here's what I love about Jacob and Paige. They've seen a lot of amazing things that God has done over the years. And they've also seen a lot of challenges and things that God has brought us through. And through every season, their family has just made a decision that they were going to be committed to this faith family for the long haul. I was with Jacob and Paige just a couple weeks ago, and they literally said to me, if it wasn't for the bridge, we don't think we'd still be married. We don't think we'd be married. You see, we often overestimate what can happen in a year or two, but we underestimate what can happen in a decade of being belonging to something, of being committed to something. And here's what we know about Christ's expectation for each of us. It's this: every believer should belong. Every believer should belong. The gospel not only saves the individual, but it creates a family. That's what it does. It not only is like some kind of ticket to heaven, it's way much more than that. When you are saved, you are brought into family. And here's what I love, what Paul says in the book of Ephesians. He says this: even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. See, this is what the church is. It's a family. And the gospel of what Christ has done through his life, his death, and his resurrection, it brings us into a family. So here's what we know. The church is not an event. It's a family. The church is not an event. It's a family. And yes, we have events. We have programs. We have ministries. This is an event. This is a worship gathering. It's a program. It's an event that you are participating in. But the church is so much more than that. You see, the church is God's way of reconstituting a new community, a new society of believers who would demonstrate God's rule and justice to the world. And the goal of salvation is not only to just forgive and pardon you of your sins on an individual level, it is that, but it's so much more. Salvation also gives you entrance into a new community of God's people. Now, this doesn't mean that family is easy. I don't know about your family or extended family, but I know that much of my family experience isn't easy. And nothing about this is easy. I'm not trying to say that this is easy, but we believe that it's worth it. We believe the church should be the model and the example of relationships in the world. And so this is what Paul says. Hey, we're a body. We're the body of Christ. So let's look back at chapter 12. Now that we're the body of Christ, we're all members. We're all members of this body. Let's look at what he says in verse 6. He says this: having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. I love that. Let us use what God has given us. And then he gives us a few different examples of this. He says, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if you got the gift of service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, I specifically love that gift. He says, verse 8, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And so this is what Paul says. Hey, whatever gift you have, and we all have gifts. He doesn't delineate between people who are older or younger, who are white or who are black, who are male, female, any rich, poor, whatever. He says all of us, everybody has these spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are for everybody. And as the Holy Spirit has gifted you, let's use these gifts for the good of the body, for this family that we are part of. You see, in a family, everyone contributes. Everyone contributes. I envision a church where everyone loves, everyone serves, Everyone gives. Everyone contributes out of what God has given them in order to make the biggest impact possible. Therefore, we're going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you to jump in, to get involved, to get invested. It's going to take all of us giving, serving, contributing in order to become what God wants us to become. And let me just pause here and say, let me just honor our members. So many of you, and as a church, we practice church membership, and I know it's layered, and I know it can be complex, and I know there's challenges with all that. But we see here that we're members. We're members one of another. We practice church membership. It's not some kind of contract where you're writing your life away. No, it just is a commitment. It just means that you commit to this place while God has you here for however long He has you here, that you're going to be committed, and that you're part of this faith family, and we're going to love and serve and support, and we're going to help lead, and we know who really belongs to the family. So let me honor those of you who are members of the church. So many of you who give hundreds of hours, hundreds of dollars, I mean, every month. I mean, this is what the church is. I mean, it's all of us that are contributing, that are giving, that are investing into this thing that we call the church. So let me honor you and just say thank you for being a part of this and for being involved. And let me encourage those of you who you may not be a member yet. You may not be locked in yet, and I get it. That's totally okay. I understand that, coming to a church and to be a part of a new church, it takes time, and obviously you want to make a good decision for where God wants you to be and where He wants you to belong. By the way, we love our city. We love the churches that are in our city. But pastorally, let me just ask you, are you a member here at The Bridge? Are you a member here? Have you decided to commit? Are you in? Are you all in? If not, we actually do a short little class. It's called Belong. It's an easy way for you to sign up. Right now it happens on Sunday mornings, usually once every month or so. And you can sign up for that and you can belong. And essentially you just say, I'm going to make a commitment to be here, and we'll talk at Belong. We'll share what it means to be here and the way that we're structured and the way that we want to give and invest and how you can be invested. So first of all, are you a member here? Secondly, are you in community? Are you in biblical community? Are you locking arms with other believers in our church? We do these things called a community group. Are you in a community group? Are you participating in meaningful relationship? Are you doing life with people, or is this just some kind of an event that you show up to? And I want to encourage you that the church is so much more than an event or some kind of building or whatnot. It's a community of people that we interlock arms together in order to see, in order to do what God would want us to do. So here's how I'd like to conclude. We have a family in our church who many of you know, who it's the Smith family, Hillary and Joel Smith, and they are key leaders in our church. They're awesome. We love them to death. For those of you who know them, they've been around for a number of years. Hillary is our executive director of ministry. She's on our senior team, our executive team, and she does so much and she contributes so much. But here's what I love about Joel and Hillary. There's nothing in Hillary's job description where it says that they have to the certain amount of hours or whatever that they got to invest in other people and community and whatnot. But Joel and Hillary, of their own choosing, see the church as a community, as a family, and they have chosen to give to invest, to give their time and their energy into people, into community, and church is not just some kind of thing that they show up to, but it's really integral to their life. Here's where I'm getting. A few months ago, Joel was traveling. He was out of the country, and Hillary was doing her thing with her three little kiddos, and her youngest son, Banks, was sick, and then it got worse, and he had a pretty dramatic situation from a health standpoint, where he began to have a series of what's called complex seizures. It was actually, it was devastating. I mean, it seemed at the moment that Banks couldn't breathe. It seemed like he was dying. Hillary immediately called me, called a couple other people, not knowing what to do with kids and all the stuff, ambulance on the way, whatnot. But in a matter of a few minutes, church literally, many showed up, helped kids, watched the kids, helped beat her to the hospital, showed up, started a meal train, covered them with just love and their needs and met their needs in a crisis situation. And the reason is because they invested relationally into what the church is. So let me ask you today, is that what your life is like? Your next crisis, whatever you're going through, do you want to have to go through that alone, or do you want to be in an interconnected, a deep web of community of relationships that is the church? I would say, hey church, invest, jump in. Let's be family. We're family. All right. This isn't some kind of event. We want to know names. We want to know stories. We want to understand what's going on in your life. And this happens through community. It happens through relationship. So church, let's invest. Let's be all in, and let's invest relationally, and let's invest with God, what God has given us. And let's be the body of Christ. We are family. Let's pray. God, today, I thank you so much that the church is more than just some kind of event. It's more than a program. It's more than something that we just show up to. But the church is a family. It's a body. It's a community. It's a thick web of relationships where we love and we serve and we give to one another. And so, God, I pray that you would help us to be a church that's family, that's strong on community, that's strong on relationships. And I pray that you would lead us in that way. Jesus, we thank you today that your life, your death, and your resurrection accomplished for us not just a ticket into heaven, but the ability to be in a family, a new family, the family of God. And so, Jesus, we thank you. And God, we ask that you would do this in Christ's name. Amen.